Hi, I'm Ray Poynter, and this is Talking AI. And I'm delighted to have with me today Tanya Berliner, Client Success Director at Yasna AI. So, hi, Tanya.
Hi, ciao, Ray, and everyone who is watching us. Thank you so much for your invitation. It's going to be exciting.
It's a pleasure, and ciao coming straight from Italy, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tanya, perhaps give our listeners some background to you and to Yasna.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Tanya, as you know, and I'm a qualitative person. So I've been doing qual for more than 20 years already. So I did everything that is possible to doing qual, from offline to online, focus groups, interviews, accompanied shoppings, consumer immersions, communities. Yeah, everything we know. And now my role at the Yasna is that I'm actually educating our clients on how to use AI, how to let's say blend AI moderation with traditional methods, how to start using it, why it is important, and what are the tips and tricks about it. And my responsibility is building network with market research agencies. So my personal role in Yasna that I love so much. So I support market research agencies worldwide. It doesn't matter where you are, I'm here to help. And this is the part that I really love about my job. And Yasna is the end-to-end platform for conversational research or AI-moderated in-depth interviews. So we have literally everything from moderation to translation, transcription, and then multidimensional analysis with findings, quant data, subgroups, crosstabs, and so on. So we are all researchers. We understand the needs of the researchers, your pains, challenges, and also, I think one of the most important parts about us is even our IT guys. We have more than 10 in-house developers, and even they have experience in developing, creating some products for market research.
Excellent. So, why do you think there's so much interest at the moment in conversational data collection? What are the drivers, do you think?
Obviously not the only one. There are a few of them. I think first of all, it's just a new technology, like a new gadget. We're always interested, like what's going on there. Want to try it, to touch it, and feel it. The second one is, I think that the driver is like stakeholders, big guys who understand that AI is about efficiency. You want it, you don't want it, but you have to try it. You have to implement it in a smart way, and there is a kind of like pressure, and even a little bit of pressure, or maybe not a little bit depending on the company, but it's normal, yeah, because it will be a part of our life, and it's important to start adapting it, yeah. So it comes from some stakeholders, AI enthusiasts, and so on. And also, I think this interest also lies, when I'm thinking about qualitative researchers, and I know how it feels like a little bit of caution and fear, like, what is this? I'm doing this job better. So I think one of the drivers is really to try it and see if you, maybe to prove that you are better as a moderator, which is true, but for now, guys, let's see what's gonna be, in a year or two. So the idea is to understand, to prove that maybe your expertise is very important. But curiosity is there anyway. Yeah, even if you treat it with some caution, you understand that I need to try it at least. Yeah, to play.
Yes, great. Could you describe a typical project?
I would say there are two types of typical projects. So the first one is, I would say, exploration. Yeah. So when you are trying to get information to develop some new ideas. Here we are talking about any kind of UND, understanding of behavior patterns, of how people interact with some products and services. When we want to understand their attitude to different trends, yeah, or get, feedback about a product that they are using, at home or something like that. And the second type, let's say, of projects is when you want to test a raw idea. Raw idea in terms that you're not going just to choose A, B, or C, but you need some details and nuances in order to improve this idea. Yeah, so any kind of product idea testing, concept testing, and things like that. Yeah.
Great. And so when you're setting up one or both of those types of project, what are the secrets? What are the key things to getting it right if you're going to use conversational data collection?
I would say maybe it sounds strange, but I would say you need to find some trust in yourself to the technology. Because if your idea is always to prove like I'm better as a human researcher, I don't trust, I see only disadvantages, it doesn't work. And the second one, the second tip that comes from this one is test but verify. I don't know if you say it in English like that. Hopefully, yes, but you've got the idea. So you have to, of course, be a part of this process. Yes, trust AI, but understand that your role as an expert is very important, and you have to be there. For the probe, for the probes, for the instructions, for the like prompting when you are doing the analysis. So your expertise is needed. This kind of synergy between AI and the human, this is the top secret, and some trust, because AI is really good in doing some routine processes. So
So we haven't mentioned languages yet. So how does it work when you're doing a project in a language that you don't speak? Now, you speak several languages, Tanya, so it's less of a problem for you
not too
than
much,
me.
unfortunately.
But how do people tend to tackle that?
Oh, I think actually this is one of the best and the most important benefits. The easy way of setting up multilingual projects. Because you have built in our case, it's around 50 languages that we have on the platform. So you just literally click and translate in any language that you need. So by the way, our platform and I guess similar platforms have this benefit that if you have a multicultural, multilingual team, you can open the same project from your device and choose the language, like your native language or the language you prefer, and work with the analysis, with the transcripts, literally one click, waiting for a few seconds, and then you have really good translation. So AI is really good in that. Impressively good sometimes.
Excellent. So AI has made a lot of this possible, but the rate of change is immense. We're seeing so many new things coming online. What do you think conversational data collection is going to look like in 18 months, 2 years, something like that?
Well, it's a little bit difficult to predict, but what we know that technologies are developing really, really fast. So what I'm saying, maybe it will happen tomorrow. Maybe it will happen in a year. Let's see. But I believe that AI moderators will be able to handle communities, focus groups, and something, because now it works in most cases like one-on-ones. And I think that the AI moderators will grow, get more experience, and become really good in moderating more people, in guiding and handling group dynamics and so on. And we know that it is very important, especially when you are doing something creative, and some projective techniques, and when you want, to have like a few groups to discuss something. So I think it's a really important shift. I suppose it will come. So another change that is already here, but it will become a new level of different like collection of videos and images. The analysis will go really far, I believe, and we will have great collages and video clips and so on. So a lot of information that gives us great insights about how people live, how people do something, and then it will be easy to to work with this information, to present it. So I would think about this, and maybe more projective techniques, more difficult tasks will be possible for AI, on a really good level. AI will become a more experienced moderator.
Yes, I mean, I wonder whether they will be able to learn from earlier sessions. So, when a human interviews 10 people, by the time we get to the 10th person, we've got lots of knowledge from the other nine. At the moment, I don't think conversational data analysis does that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, so maybe like with human moderators, what we do after, as you say, after maybe even a few interviews, we already get some like hypotheses that we would like to check. Yeah, with the further respondents, and yeah, I think AI will be there to like more how to say intelligent and smarter moderation. Yeah. And maybe I'm thinking also about the analysis. Just you've said this, and now I'm thinking, and the analysis, like analyzing not only the data from this particular study, but taking into consideration previous studies. And we know that it's very important. You can also do that now, with some tools, but maybe it will be even smoother and easier to have. And it's also important, especially for brands, big companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So, nearly running to the end of the time, but I think the thing that's going to be fascinating for the listeners, if somebody has never done a conversational data collection project,
We know all these people. Okay.
what sort of project would you suggest they try first, and how would they set that up?
No, I would suggest to follow your sociological curiosity, your natural curiosity, because we researchers do have it, and try it with something that you are really interested in. And especially, I would think about global studies. Okay, maybe it's my personal interest, but I believe there are a lot of people like me, especially in our community, when you want, to get cultural nuances and understand, the differences between the same topic in very different cultures. I think it's always fun, it's interesting, and it also gives you an opportunity really to get the feeling of what technology can do. Now, because I will give you just one of the examples. So sometimes we are doing different public cases, and I also have this privilege sometimes to choose what we're going to explore. And one of the researchers, just one of the examples that we've conducted in Portugal and Japan, comparing how people eat their business lunch. And we found so many insights. It is so different. Like in Japan, it's more, like they're doing it solely in very, it's not fun and pleasant. It's just something that you have to do. You are thinking about your work, you are stressed, and you want to finish it and then go back to work. And in Portugal, it's like a moment of socialization, forget about everything. Sometimes they spend really a lot, not rational at all, because they're enjoying this time. It doesn't matter that you have a business day. And, there are a lot of very different things. So I mean, just your curiosity, what is interesting to you? Choose the countries, choose the topic, make it short, just a few questions, and then play around, see how it works.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time today, Tanya. I'm sure people are going to find that really useful. And
I hope.
hopefully, more of them will try conversational data collection.
Sure. So, and of course, Jasna is for now is giving you this opportunity to conduct your curiosity study for free, or maybe a real project for your client, whatever. So you have 2 weeks of free trial, and 500 credits. So sign up, contact me if you want more information. We'll be happy to help. Thank you
Brilliant.
so much. Thank you, Ray.